Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Let's turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're not trying to have too big of a pity party, but we're asking the question, does anyone really love me? Okay. Well, God used the Apostle Paul to comment on that a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we would stop and think about all the words that we have sung tonight about how we love you and how precious you are to us. And I pray indeed that we would mean those words and that our thoughts would be focused on you, that our lives would be focused on you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the what? Less I be loved. So that's an intriguing verse. Verse 15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. We looked at that this morning. Do we really love God? Do we really love Him? If we have repented of our sin and turned to Him, confessed that we are vile sinners and need the Savior and placed our trust in Him, then how should we then live? Well, notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, we're living in days of kind of a Hollywood Christianity. You know, it's kind of a nightclub type Christianity. And that's not the Christianity of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Remember when in Egypt, God used Joseph to provide food and lay up food for them during the years of the famine, the good years and the bad years. And then they came to him, and the first year they used up all their money buying food. And then they used up all their cattle. And then when they came to him, they said, buy us and our land. That's interesting, because they said, buy us and our lands. And of course, then he did and moved them all into the cities, and then all the land except the Egyptian priest's land was Pharaoh's. Everything belonged to him. And it says here that we are not our own, verse 19, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We were out witnessing yesterday, and there was a dead-end road that we went down, and so we decided to start at the end to see how long it was because time was getting short. So we got to the very end, and there was a driveway that looked like it really hadn't been plowed out. I don't know, they must have four-wheel drive vehicles. But there was a big sign that says, keep out. And so we didn't go in that. I didn't think I could get in it with a van anyway. I thought I'd get stuck. But so we just kind of backtracked and went to other houses. And one of the houses, we happened to run across the guy who works on our duplicator. And so we had a good talk. And so he said, he says, by the way, when you get to the end, there's a house, he says, you probably don't want to go to. And he explained why. And he didn't know we'd started at the end and worked this way. But that, he told us that just nice lady and everything, he said, but she's funny about people being on her land, you know, something along that line. So I knew just what he meant when I was young. Right across the road from us, it was an open field. And the man and his son liked to hunt deer. And they didn't like anyone else on their land. And I don't know if one of them took turns at guard duty with binoculars or what, but we was probably like a quarter of a mile away from their house. But it seems like anytime we'd wander over there, not in hunting, but just as boys, you know, walking the land, it seems like someone was over there asking us what we were doing. And so he was kind of particular about his land too. Didn't want anybody on it. But the Lord, these bodies are his bodies when we're saved. We are not our own. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price, and we saw what that price was this morning, the precious blood of Christ. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in what? Your body and in what? Your spirit, which are God's. Now, this contemporary Christianity will admit that the inside is God's, but it's kind of like, you know, the outside, you know, kind of on your own. Well, that's not the way it is. Verse 20, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God. So if we really love God, we've got to acknowledge that. I mean, which one of us would sell our homes, or which one of us could get away with selling our homes, but saying we're going to keep one of the rooms or several of the rooms? It doesn't work that way. If someone buys the house, they get the whole thing. When we bought the land where we are right now, we had first put an offer on it, and we found out in the fine print there was an easement on it. He wanted to make walking trails. And so all the land he was selling, he had these easements. And for some reason, it just didn't seem right that we should buy a piece of property and then have 10 million people tramping over it, you know, on somebody else's easement. So we said, no thanks to the land. I mean, we didn't try to talk him down at a price. We just said, no thanks. And so he come back and offered. He says, well, what if I move this land over a little bit and still keep my easement, you know, but I'll just move your parcel over. And so we considered that. But when it comes to the Lord, we're his. We're his. No room is not his. Notice in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. So when we get saved, our bodies, inside and outside, are his. He bought them. He bought it with a price, his precious blood. In 1 John chapter 5, then, because we are bought with a price and we're to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, here's where it gets the nitty-gritty. Because sometimes we may do things on the outside, but don't really want to do them on the inside. Well, that's not what God wants. 1 John 5, verse 3. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the what? Love of God, that we what? Keep his commandments. So that's number one. What is the love of God? You know, people are always saying, well, you know, God is love. You know, you fundamentalist, you're fundamental, temperamental, independent Baptist. That's what they accuse us of. So they say, you know, you just need to ease up. I was just told that recently. Someone was just told, you need to ease up. And in that particular situation, there's a professing Christian said, you need to ease up a little bit. You need to drink a little liquor. And the person did, foolishly. Well, that was not smart. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's on the outside, but now on the inside. And his commandments are what? Not grievous. So we're to keep his commandments. That's what we do. That's what we do. But now we look at the inside. Remember 1 Corinthians 6 there, 19 to 20? We're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. This is dealing with the same thing. The love of God. If we say that we love God, we're to keep his commandments. That's on the outside. But they're not to be grievous. That's on the inside. You know, I try to give scripture Years ago, my messages were a lot shorter years ago. Some would say, "Amen, brother, get back to those 10-minute messages." I didn't have any more to say after 10 minutes. But back in those days, I didn't have people turn to anything. I would just quote scriptures or read them. And I was really. It's done, I was done in 10 minutes. I just totally, someone was just saying that. Was it last night? I've said my 400 or 500 words or whatever it is. So, us men, we don't have many words, supposedly, to say. Then we just, it's just like we close up shop for the night, It's just, I can't talk anymore, But here, his commandments are not grievous. So we're to, on the outside, we're to keep them on the inside. And sometimes we may do things on the outside, but we're not wanting to do it on the inside. And that's not what God desires. Verse 3 is so important. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We may say to our wives, "Well, I'll take you shopping." But are we smiling? If we can't find a dress rack to lean on, do we, "Oh, my back's killing me." A man can work hard all day long and not bother his back, but oh man. A man goes shopping for 30 minutes, and I tell you, there's just something about it. We need the chiropractor, just, oh So if we say we're going to do something, do we really mean it on the inside too? Do we really mean it? Notice in First John, well, that's the verse I had here. So inwardly delighting, inwardly delighting. Notice in Psalm 37, this matter of delight. In what do we really delight? And that really makes a difference, doesn't it? People don't really want us to do something if we're not really doing it with all of our hearts. If they know, we're kind of being put out by it, they don't enjoy it. In Psalm 37, verse 4, Psalm 37, 4, what's the first word? Delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. How is that? Because when we delight ourselves in the Lord, then we have the right desires. When we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, then we don't have the right desires. So he can answer our prayer requests when we're delighting in him. And so many times, God has to get us in a hard place before we really look to him, before we really delight in him. Notice back in chapter 1, Psalm 1. Brother Steve mentioned this last night. We're talking about loving God, loving our spouses, and we see one of the keys here in Psalm 1, verse 1: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So many times. And I've had this recently. So many times you'll consult like a Bible commentary for a question, and it won't really deal with the question, or it won't really answer it according to the Bible. And so I was telling one, what we have to remember is that people publish books to what? Make money, okay? And how many real fundamentalists are, on the New York Times or whoever it is best-selling list? It's not too common. Brother Cloud has printed a lot of books, but it's just a local church in Canada that prints them, and it's just kind of a print-on-demand. I mean, they don't print them on big web presses. They just have one of those fast copiers, and then that's what they do it on, because they're not gonna sell big time. Because people are not really looking for the biblical answer many times. They're looking for the answer they want to hear. And so many times they'll say, "Well, what do you think about this?" And then if that's not what they want to hear, they'll go to someone else. What do you think about this? And when they finally hear what they want to hear, they say, oh yeah, that's the answer. They really don't want the answer. So we got to make sure we're amongst the right people, verse 1. Then verse 2, but his what? Delight is in the law of the Lord. How are we going to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then he'll give us the desires of our hearts? We've got to be in his word. If we're delighting in the Lord, we're delighting in his word. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then you read on there, and that is the person that he can bless there. So let's move on there. We've thought about, there's a couple, or at least one here I want to look at, I guess. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Then we want to move on to another section here. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2 and verse 4. First John 2, 4. He that saith, I, what? Know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we desire to please him. And that's it. If we love someone, we desire to please them. Okay, let's go on to another section here. So first of all, do we really love God? Number two, do we really love other Christians? Or could they say, with 2 Corinthians 12:15, could they say of us, the more abundantly I have loved you, my fellow Christian, the less you have loved me. Could they say that to us? Let's look at John 13. John 13. The Lord gave a new commandment. And that new commandment is that we love other Christians. John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye what? Love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So, in verse 34, it's a new command. Love one another. In verse 35 is a trademark. I learned that you can put TM after anything you want, basically, as long as you're not infringing upon someone else's registered trademark. But I think it was Myers. I don't know, maybe Myers has the R. But so I began to look at different things that after their name or after the saying has a little circle with an R in it. If it's a little circle with an R in it, they've registered it with wherever in the Library of Congress or something. So they've did their research, they've hired their lawyers, and no one else has that registered trademark, so they put that, an R with a circle around. But you can put a TM after anything, and that just means trademark, but it's not registered. It's only registered if the R is there. So you can put TM after anything unless someone comes after you saying, hey, that's my registered trademark. You can't use it. So I was kind of amused. I got a flyer from pastor's school down in Hammond, Indiana. And this year, I don't know if any of you got it, but this year, pastor's school is a registered trademark now. And it was throughout the brochure, pastor's school. R, circle. Next paragraph, pastor's school, R, circle. Next paragraph, pastor's school, R, circle. I mean, just throughout the whole thing. They wanted someone to know that quit using pastor's school to advertise your meetings. You can't do that anymore. So I was kind of amused at that. I don't know if everyone else will be amused, but after doing some research on it, I was amused anyway. So they gave me a good laugh, even if they didn't give anyone else a good laugh. But our registered trademark, verse 35, is this. By this shall all men what? No. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. So when someone sees a saying, maybe even a graphic, and it's the R in a circle, You can't use that. It's someone else's. But it lets you know whose it is. And the Lord gave us a registered trademark that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And I appreciate so much the love amongst you. When someone is hurting, just people are ready to take food. They're ready to help. And that is to be the registered trademark of God's people, that we have love one for another. You know, isn't it sad that how many Baptist churches are thought about in regard to holiness? We've never been playing ball, and someone come up and says, "Are you Baptist?" Not once. Why? Because Baptists, sadly today, are not known for modesty. It's just not a trademark of Baptists anymore. They think we're Amish. It is a trademark of Amish to be dressed modestly, but sadly, many of them do not know the Lord as their Savior. Now, Brother Miller was telling me that going to their weddings, he was invited because they would truck the Amish around many times. And he said their weddings was so sad. It was like a funeral. I mean, I don't know if they were all shotgun weddings or what. You know, I don't know why they were so sad. You'd think they'd be happy at a wedding, but he said it was weird. It was strange. It was really different. But when someone's barn burns down with the Amish, their trademark is they all help build it again. Is that a trademark, though? Is that a registered trademark of Christianity, of Baptists today? Well, sadly, many times it's not. Why is it that a group like that has characteristics that ought to be shown amongst us as Christians? So something to really think about there, verse 35. By this shall all men know. This is your registered trademark. What? That you have love one for another. That you people love one another. And everyone knows it. If the matter is so important, notice with me in 1 John chapter 4. This is so important that the Lord speaks on it again through John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John 4, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Let's see. I'm in chapter 5. I'm sorry. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I what? Love God and what? Hateth his brother. Okay, so if a man say, I love God, but you know he hates another brother, a Christian. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a what? Liar. I don't suppose he'd like to hear that. Probably would he? No. But he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he what? Hath seen. How can he love God whom he what? Hath not seen. I was recently talking to a Christian, and they were talking to someone, and this one was trying to kind of intimidate them, and kind of along the charismatic line. Listen, the Bible is clear here. We haven't seen the Lord, but we love him. But if we say we love God but can't love the brothers that we do see, then the Bible says we're a liar, that we don't really love God. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love who? His brother also. So our love for the brethren is based upon God's love for us. It's not based upon how lovely our brethren are or are not. Years ago when I was a boy, there was a he was kind of a missionary preacher up in the UP. And he would come down sometimes. He was kind of like, well, it's home missions. And but as a boy, they would talk about having to work with this home missionary, and he was so ornery. And I just thought, how does that work? You know? But we need to love the brethren. Love the brethren. In 1 John 4, verse 11 here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So it's not based upon if they're lovable, but it's based upon God's love for us. And one last verse in this regard, let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. I grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind one to another, tender hearted. What's the next word? Forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as who? God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So forgiving others is not based upon how agreeable they are, but it's based upon the Lord forgiving us, what He has done for us. So the first thing, do we really love God? The Lord loves us so much, but the more He loves us and the more He gives to us, so many times, the more we take it for granted. As Paul wrote there, God used him to write, the more I love, the less I be loved. God could certainly say that. Could other Christians say that about us? Well, the more I've loved that person, the more I've helped that person, why, the more they seem to turn against me. Why is that? The third thing is, do we really love our husbands and wives? And Brother Steve hit on that last night, so I'm going to jump to the next one here in just a few moments we have. Let's go up to Leviticus 19, 18. Do we really love our neighbor? Leviticus 19, 18. Leviticus 19, 18. You know, when I was a boy, most everyone that passed on the road, it seems like we knew. You know, if someone went by, you often waved. You know, how often does it happen today? Not too often. But people were more neighborly, it seemed like, back then. And, of course, many times you had less neighbors. Leviticus 19, 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love what? Thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Once Brother Jeremy was doing a roofing job, and I was trying to look them up. And at that point, there was some snow, I think, coming or something. And so I was trying to find where they were. They were in a subdivision working. I thought I knew that subdivision pretty well, and so I was driving around, and I thought, this is going to be easy. I mean, when shingles are being put on a house, I mean, you can't hide that. You know, you got shingles all over in the yard, and you got ladders, and, you know, you can see the shingles off the roof. And I drove around that place, I think, at least two full times. I could not find them. And so I stopped asking. It was a Korean family that was doing the job for him. So I stopped and asked. I saw a lady out there and said, would you happen to know where there's a Korean family living here that's getting their roof replaced? And she thought. And she says, well, she did know of two, I think, Korean families. And so she kind of directed me that way. And no. So I asked another neighbor in that section. And no, I don't know of anyone. And finally, I was just winding back toward the entrance to the subdivision. And I saw a man out in his yard, so I drove up, big fancy house, and drove up in there and said, sir, would there happen to be a Korean family that you know of somewhere around here that's getting their roof replaced? And nope, he didn't know of any Korean family. So I back out of that driveway, and then I looked straight across from his driveway, and there was a drive that went up there, and there was a few houses up in there, so I thought, I'm going to drive up in there. As soon as I drove up in there, I saw the guys, you know, the ladders and everything. And this guy lived right across the road from this family. And he didn't even know that they were Koreans. He didn't even know anyone lived around there like that. Maybe he was hard of hearing, you know. You think you could hear those air nailers, you know, going, but he had no clue. The Bible says here to love our neighbor as ourselves. And, you know, probably a lot of times we were too much like the rich young man. Notice with me in Matthew 19. He thought he was obeying that verse. In Matthew 19, Jesus asked him, and he says, yeah, yep, I've done that. In Matthew 19, in verse 16, Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This confuses some people because they say, well, how come if you can't get to heaven by keeping the law, how come Jesus seemed to respond that way to this man? Because he's trying to show him that he could not keep the law. That's why. So verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He says, yep, I've done all those, Lord. No problem there. So Jesus says in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, is that the way to get to heaven? If you sell your house, you give all the money to the poor, is that the way to get to heaven? Well, once again, Jesus is trying to show this young man that he hasn't kept the law. And he's not done with the young man. So some would come to this passage and say, well, Jesus said you can go to heaven if you keep the law. Jesus said you can go to heaven if you give a lot of money to the poor. No, that's not done with the whole story. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So what's the punchline? This young, wealthy man was not keeping the law. The fact is, Jesus gave him, okay, young man, you think you've kept the law? You think your checklist is perfect? You know, like your checkbook, you know? End of the month, everything checks perfectly. So he says to the young man, you think that your checklist is fine? And okay, let's give you a little test. You've already checked off that you love your neighbor as yourself. Let's see if you really do. We'll just have a little test for you. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. If you really love your neighbor as yourself, you'll trade places with him. Give him your house. Give him your money. And you be the poor one now. Well, he didn't want to do that. He walked away, verse 22. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So if someone takes you to this passage and tries to say, well, Jesus said you get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. Or Jesus said you can get to heaven by giving money to the poor. No, he didn't. He was showing this young man a lesson. The fact was, is no one can keep the law. And he was just proving it to this young man. Young man, you know, so oftentimes we measure ourselves by other people. And the Bible says that's not wise. Remember, the standard is God. Matthew 5:48, he's perfect. And Jesus did leave his home in heaven and come down here. For our sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He really did. Jesus really did love his neighbor as himself. He loved us and was willing to trade places that we might go to heaven. And not that he is bound to earth. He's already resurrected back to heaven. But he indeed truly loved his neighbor as himself. So that's another question. Do we really love our neighbors as ourselves? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we think of these thought-provoking questions, and could you, first of all, say of us, The more I love that Christian, the more he or she just takes me for granted, and the less they seem to really care about me and love me. And Lord, help us to remember that if we really love you, we'll keep your commandments, not just outwardly, but it will also be an inward thing, and your commandments will not be grievous. We'll not just be doing it on the outside. We'll be doing it on the outside because we really want to on the inside too. In these other areas, Lord, I pray that indeed we would love, that we'd love the brethren, that we'd love our family members, that we would love our neighbors, and truly care for their souls. So, Lord, please continue to do a work in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our